You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
From the oceans through the valleys, from the mainland to the shore, let your kingdom be awakened in the hearts of men once more. Call your children into freedom, captive souls to liberty. Come awaken, Holy Spirit. Come awaken us today.
Brings the lost soul into family.
kingdom, for your glory.
Come away,
morning. You're going to be hearing that song a lot because the Lord wants us to hear the words to this hymn. And this hymn was written for the movie A Great Awakening, which is in the theaters now. I've seen it 3 times already, and God is speaking through that movie. And Nanette and I went yesterday, and Nanette said, this theater should be full. And the theaters have not been full. You know, maybe 5-10 people there. The theater should be full. And I just encourage you, if you have not seen this movie, A Great Awakening, I encourage you to go and hear and see what God is doing in the film industry. You know, we've got Kim Stryker here on WCNO, who, you know, that's her heart, is Hollywood and, you know, filmmaking and the arts and all that. But this, the company that created the movie, Sight and Sound, this is only their second movie that they've put out, and it is phenomenal. And they are a company that's been around for 50 years. I guess the producer, Jonathan, his parents, Joshua, I think is his name, his parents founded that theater. So they have these open groups and theaters both in Branson and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I don't really know much about it, but phenomenal, phenomenal. Everything about the movie was phenomenal. It was based on the true story, the relationship between Ben Franklin and the Reverend George Whitfield back in the 1700s before we became a nation, and how instrumental both of them were in the forming of the nation, with George Whitfield with being credited with the first Great Awakening, and Ben Franklin with being one of our founding fathers and responsible for many things that happened in the government, and specifically towards prayer being held before every Congress and a lot of things of that nature. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out. So that song is that hymn, the guy that created the hymn said that he wanted it to sound as if it was done back in that day, because hymns were very popular back in that time. And but he said this is just as much for today as it was back then. You know, it's a call to prayer, and it's a call to awakening and crying out to God for an awakening, another awakening for this nation and for God to awaken the church. And, you know, that was one of Whitfield's main things when he preached was awaken, O sleeper. And we know that that's in the word there.
Ephesians 5.
Yeah. And that's part of the verse 4. On this, it says, wake, O sleeper, from your slumber. Saints, awaken, come to life. Christ will rise and shine upon you in his heavenly light divine, like the sunrise in its dawning, breaking darkness with new light. Rise upon us, King of glory. Come awaken us today. And I think they, with Whitfield, I have my book here, about him with the Wesleys. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of just jumped right into it, you know, without really introducing my two co-hosts who are sitting here very patiently.
Not at all. Go.
We love to hear you talk, Karen.
but in the book God's Generals, which is written by Robert Sliard, and he's, you know, done historical, you know, with all of the
I think he's got 6 volumes of God's Generals. You know, many people that have come up, you know, great people in the church. Billy Graham, the early evangelist, Wesley, Jonathan Edwards. And anyway, so in the book about, so Whitfield said that when he met the Wesleys, I'm kind of paraphrasing it. So he met the Wesleys when he was younger, when they were all in the same college at Oxford. And the Wesleys were kind of religious. But when George Whitfield had the revelation of Jesus, you know, the justification by faith, the Wesleys didn't have that. They were kind of more into the works. But part of it was that it was the old light. I think they said it was the old light in the new light. You know, when you go from darkness to light. But anyway, you got to see the movie. Please go see the movie. And you're going to be blessed. And I feel like I'm just fired up again. You know, when I got saved in 1976, I didn't know. I just knew hymns, you know. So there are many of the old hymns that really impacted my life. And, you know, you can feel how solid they are. And so this, you know, is really ministering to my heart. But even as an intercessor, you know, this hymn itself is really, you know, in the first verse, acknowledging that God is our only hope of liberty, you know, through Christ Jesus. The second verse, love unending, grace unyielding, tender mercies from thy throne, bring the lost souls into families. You know, it's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit to bring people in, to bring people to the kingdom. And, you know, and then that prayer for God to revive us with his holy fire, to restore us and to fan holy fire, fan to flame, you know. And then didn't Paul tell Timothy, fan into flame, you know? And I feel like the Lord wants to fan into flame, you know, those of us that have been waiting around, waiting for something to happen. We got to fan into flame what the Lord has already put in you. But, you know, bring that back up again. And so in verse 3, talks about, I will serve thee, precious Jesus. Unto thee I give my all. Lay my hands unto thy service and my heart unto thy call. Perish every fond ambition. Lay aside all selfish gain. All forsaken for thy glory. Come awaken us today. You know, and that talks about commitment and surrender to the Lord. Because we cannot accomplish anything apart from him. And then that the fourth verse, wake, O sleeper, from your slumber. Saints, awake and come to life. Christ will rise and shine upon you in his heavenly light divine. Like the sunrise in its dawning, breaking darkness with new light. Rise upon us, King of glory. Come awaken us today. And that's our call to action. And the, you know, to sound the trumpet in the nation and to the lost, call out to the lost. The thing with George Whitefield, what he's known for is his voice was so loud and he could be heard by 20,000 people at one time without a microphone. Mm. And, you know, we all have to be a trumpet and a voice wherever we are. And someone had also said that he sounded like a lion. Like a roaring lion. But
yeah, like the sound of a trumpet.
Yes, exactly.
The sound of a trumpet. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you got to see it. You got to see the movie. I can't say it any other way. Mm. I highly recommend it. And, you know, one part, the other part about back to the Freedom 250, which is coming up May 17th, when the nation is going to be rededicated to the Lord. You know, the filmmaker said that this was the timing. God timed all of this to be released during this 250th Because celebration.
When did they start working on the movie? Because,
you know, I don't.
I thought
maybe
it was
four.
It was a long time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not by chance that this movie happens to come out during the time of the rededication.
And the, you know, and I was doing a little research on the Great Awakenings. How many Great Awakenings have we had? And you know, there's three notable that I'm aware of. The first one being this one with George Whitefield. But you know, the Lord wants to awaken the nation yet again. Mm-hmm. And the church, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And that's the call by the Holy Spirit for each one of us to return to the Lord.
You know, that's the part of the Bible that Trump read. That was the scripture that Trump read in the reading of the Bible in the Bible Museum or whatever.
Yes.
For 6 days.
That's right.
That is the verse he read.
Amen. And I wonder if that was planned. But yes, that Bible marathon. You know, we have a Bible marathon here in November in Stuart where they read the Bible, you know, start to finish nonstop. Mm. And I guess that's what they're doing in D.C. at the Museum of the Bible. I don't know. Are they doing 24 hours or just during the day?
12-hour days. I think it was from April 19th to the 25th. 12-hour days nonstop.
Oh, okay.
There were almost 500 people taking scripture parts.
Yeah. Praise God. We got to do it while we can.
Wow.
We have to do it because we, as believers, if we do not stand up, if we do not open our mouths, if we do not take possession of what belongs to this nation, then it's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know that there's plenty of people that love this nation, that have been praying, are going to continue to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I just encourage you to participate in that.
And the thing is that with Whitefield, you know, he wasn't the voice of a political party.
Correct.
He was fixated and determined to make the voice of Jesus Christ heard.
Amen.
Bottom line, that was his main. And in that, revival came. In that, the Great Awakening came. In that came the influences of Reformation. You know, all of that, because they kept the main thing the main thing.
That's right, because he preached salvation.
Yeah. Yes. And Jesus has always been about this particular unity. Non-Jews, Jews, Gentiles, whatever you find yourself in. And it was this unity under him. He was making this unity. It wasn't the unity to coexist with other religions and other gods and other idols and other ways of worship. It wasn't a table where Jesus was seated with all of the other gods. No. It wasn't like you can come with your stuff and find unity. No. You can come and recognize I have to leave the stuff.
Yes, amen.
And so, you know, that's the true unity under Christ, under the headship of Jesus Christ. Only he can make that true unity possible. And so going back to Whitefield's voice, oh my goodness, just the storyline, they were very purposeful with this movie, and I really enjoyed just learning, just seeing, because I read the text, right, you know, teaching my daughter in homeschool, And you can read, and it's beautiful because our own imagination could picture the person, can picture how he might have sounded like. But I guess that's why I love movies, the gift of cinema, you know, and how they can really bring things to life. Because things watching it was just a total different effect. It was just like, wow, all these words, like, it, the picture was really just vivid for me. And so the fact, it was just reminding me this, that whatever God put in us, it wasn't a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's not something that he cannot use. Amen. And he was broken. I mean, he was a broken young boy that lived in poverty, that lived like as a servant, you know, and he was hurt verbally and physically all the time, you know, and you see that in the movie. But it was like from the beginning, the enemy was trying to break him, saying, you don't have a voice. There's nothing good in you. Look how you were born. Look at your eyes. No one is ever going to accept you. They're just going to make fun of you. You know, they're just going to put you down. You're worth nothing. And yet it took another person to come into his life and spend time with him and give of himself and pour into this kid, because he saw from the very beginning there's something in him. It didn't show firsthand. His voice wasn't loud firsthand. His voice wasn't, it was just a normal voice. But this man that came into him, his life, kept working with him, kept working with, it's there, it's there, it's going to come out. You need to feel it. And I just loved how he emphasized how the sound or the voice or the feeling or whatever it was going to come from the belly. It was going to come from the innermost parts of him. And he got to tap into that and recognize that. And then it was like the parallel, like Holy Spirit, coming from Holy Spirit. And so when he encountered it, it was like, oh, he recognized, I have a voice. And so, and then this man poured into him so much that he also gave him the opportunity where there wouldn't have been an opportunity for him, for a no-namer, someone that had all these crutches, all these things wrong, according to society. But this man says, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And he did. And he took the opportunity, and man, what God did. He went to a school, but it was interesting that he went to that school to act. Yet, along with his acting, it's like God intervened and said, no, I have another plan for your life.
Wow.
I have another plan for your life. And so he interjected, and it was another plan at hand, and he moved into it. And he ended up joining John Wesley, you know, and these group of guys. And I tell you, you know, I was just amazed at the movie. I can tell you lots of details, but I really want you guys to go and watch it and fill those seats and receive what we received in that moment, and why we're so fired up right now because of it.
I have to go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to go see it.
Yeah, I'll go with you if you want.
Yes.
Because I would,
we would go.
Like to see it again. Right?
Yes.
So one of the things about his preaching was that, and this is a little bit later on after he was already on the road in New England, the New England states. He went to Massachusetts in Northampton. And Jonathan Edwards was a pastor there at a Presbyterian church. So he invited George to come there and preach. And it says, and then while Edwards preached fear of God's judgment, George preached God's mercy and acceptance. With impressive insight, George sensed what the listeners needed to hear. He recorded, quote, I found my heart drawn out
to talk of scarce anything else besides the consolations and privileges of the saints and the plentiful effusion of the Spirit upon believers. And he preached with impressive insight. And he sensed what people needed to hear, whereas a lot of the old, you know, the Anglican and the Church of England, you know, they would just rehearse their lines and, you know. But here was George Whitefield, filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and really speaking to the hearts. And that was one of the things in the First Great Awakening, that it was emotional salvation. I think this is from AI. Emotional salvation over rationalism. And uniting the colonists across the region, encouraging a spirit of individualism. You know, once you know who you are in Christ, then you can just be who he made you to be.
That's right.
And that's what woke the people up, you know, because each of them could see themselves in that preaching rather than the dirty, rotten sinner. They're never, you know, they were already in a bad way, you know, with poverty and all this other stuff going on.
But I think it came from, like, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was... just as much as he was, like, reading and reciting, right? He was praying. And so even Benjamin Franklin, he said, man, I would watch him. I would get up in the middle of the night and stuff, and I would see him. And it was like he would read, he would recite, and then pray. Mm-hmm. Read and recite and pray. Read and recite and pray. I mean, it was ongoing. And prayer is the fuel behind it all.
Absolutely.
Prayer.
Absolutely.
That's why he didn't speak a dead message, because he was alive because of prayer.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, remember early in the movie when he went to that church in England when he first preached. And he
was, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know if I can say it in the right way, but actors pretend that something is real.
Right. Right. There you go.
Right. But the preachers acted like what was real was pretend.
Yes.
You know, it was like the exact opposite.
Yes.
Probably not the exact way he said it. But
I love when he took off that wig.
You got to see the movie.
You got to see. Sorry. I'm spoiling it for you guys, but it's your fault. You haven't gone to see it.
But the I watched Greg Laurie had a podcast on with Joshua Enck. He's the producer of the movie. And he asked him, Joshua Enck, something to do with Gen Z. You know, the Gen Z people are not interested in church and whatever. And Joshua Enck said, people are looking for truthful moments without an agenda. And when he said that, I'm like, that's exactly what this movie is.
Yes.
That's exactly what this is. There's no agenda except, you know, Christ preached. Like when Billy Graham used to preach.
Yes.
It was about Jesus. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Billy Graham. It wasn't all the other people. It was that the gospel was being preached with no agenda. Mm-hmm. But that movies, like you were saying, Nanette, that movies are a great way to expand our learning
come awaken us today.
Yes. And all right, so I didn't know we were going to spend that much time on that, so go ahead with whatever you got. I think we can talk about this other thing in a little bit.
Well, go ahead, Deanne. I'm sure you're busting over there in the
I haven't been here in like 3 weeks. I'm like, okay.
I know.
So, you know, with life, right? Life happens and the challenges. And so, you know, you wake up, I don't know about you, but I wake up and my mind starts going to everything I have to do and everything I'm concerned about and need to pray about and take to the Lord and all that stuff. So it's been that kind of a week, that kind of a year. So my husband and I walked this morning, came home, got my stuff ready and jumped in the shower and And I just, that old hymn, Karen, talking about the old hymns, that old hymn came to me, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that's what you're talking about, everything about Jesus. And I just started singing that hymn and I just started crying and weeping. I pulled up the words. It's very short. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. In the chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Verse 2, through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er our sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Third verse, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And that is the whole point. I have to go see this movie. And in my Sparkling Gems, Rick Renner Sparkling Gems on the 22nd, the prayer so touched my heart because it is the heart of the Father that I took a picture. And I said, I need to, you know, we can pray to God and say things, but this was so, so good that I took a picture so that I can look at it and I can pray it as often as I remember,
Amen.
If I may read it. And yes. I know we need to go to a break. So the prayer is, Lord, open my eyes to those around me who are unsaved and in need of salvation. You died for them because you want them to be saved. I know that you are trusting me to tell them the good news that they can be saved. Please empower me strongly with your spirit, giving me the boldness I need to step out from behind intimidation and to tell them the truth that will save them from an eternity in hell. Help me to start telling them the good news immediately before it is too late. I pray this in Jesus' name. And then the declaration, I declare by faith that I am a strong witness for Jesus Christ. My eyes are opened and my spirit is attentive to recognize opportunities to speak the gospel to people who are unsaved. When I speak to them, they listen with an open heart and want to hear what I have to say. Because of my bold witness, my family, friends, acquaintances, and fellow workers are getting saved. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So praise God. It just lines up with the movie.
Well, yes. And the Lord is, it's salvation.
Yes.
It's about,
yes.
I mean, in this first verse here.
Yes.
Let your kingdom be awakened in the hearts of men once more.
Yes. And that's what he did.
Yes. Call your children into freedom. Your mm-hmm. children, those are those of us that know him. Mm-hmm. Captive souls to liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Come awaken, Holy Spirit. So I would dare say that this is what's on God's heart.
Yes.
You know, he's can't move unless we ask him to.
Yes.
Amen.
And invite him to. And I know that he's going to move in our nation.
Amen.
And we don't want to miss the opportunity that is before us on May 17th and participating, whether we go there or not, or just, you know, watch it, watch the live stream, or, you know, go to the websites that have all this information about prayers, different people that are praying. Maybe there's some churches around here that are praying in the, you know, in accordance with the Freedom 250 movement. But anyway, that's what's on God's heart, is the salvation of souls, and that he does want to bring another awakening to America to set us on the right course for the next 250 years. So let's take a quick Amen. Break, and we will be right back.
Shed a fire inside me, a holy flame. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Places. We appreciate those that listen every week. And we'd love to hear from you anytime you would care. You can use that form on the website, WCNO.com, if you have a prayer request, if you want us to pray for any of your needs. We can do that here on the program. If you have a comment, you can also use that same prayer request form. And we'd love to hear from you. We just pray that God is blessing you through this program. You know, we just come every week, and as I always say, we don't know what we're going to really be talking about. You know, we've been focused on this, the May 17th situation, but it's still led by the Holy Spirit. And don't forget that the National Day of Prayer is next Thursday. So if you're in our area, which if you can hear my voice, you're in our area at the Port St. Lucie, or the Mid-Florida Event Center in Port St. Lucie, the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance will be having their version of the National Day of Prayer, be held at 6 p.m. Thursday, May 7th. And you can call the station here if you need any more information about that. And then again, May 17th, that Rededicate 250 to be held on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., where every American that's invited to participate, they're going to have worship, they're going to have preaching and all other kinds of stuff going on for the entire day to rededicate our nation to God. All right, so what do you got? You have anything else, Deanne? She's reading something.
No, we were just, as we were off air, we were talking, and I just said, I feel like there's been such a deception and a dumbing down, a dimming of the reality of eternity. You know, like the churches don't talk about it. We don't talk about it, you know. because as I read these things and this prayer and just, it's like hell is real. Eternal damnation is real. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jesus would not have had to come and be born and live and in his life and everything and suffer and be tormented and tortured and mutilated. He would not have had to do that mm-hmm. if hell wasn't real. If eternal damnation wasn't real, that's where sin sends us. And it's like, it really made me awaken, Karen, awaken to my neighbors, my family members, mm-hmm. my coworkers that are not seeking the Lord, are not walking with the Lord, are not worshiping the Lord. And my God, could their blood be on my hands if I am not sharing the gospel? Mm-hmm. If I'm not sharing, not in condemnation, not in judgment, not in self-righteousness, but in love, pure love. Do we really care about their eternal life? Right? We have, I'm a realtor, and this one investor, we have multiple properties. We were managing for him for years and years. His secretary called my broker and said, Easter Sunday, they went to bed, and his wife never woke up. She didn't wake up. Do I know if they were saved or not? I don't know. They don't live in the area. But we do not know about tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow's not promised. So do we have a neighbor? Do we have a family member, a coworker that could not wake up tomorrow? And maybe they're not right with Christ. Maybe they're not a new creation and born again. Maybe they're not saved. They're going to spend eternity not with the Lord. They're going to spend eternity in hell. And we know people have gone to hell and come back to tell about it, speak about it, write about it, make movies about it. It's real. And we've got to be snapped and awakened. That word keeps coming. Awakened back to the reality, the truth that God wants everyone to know of his love and goodness. He wants everyone to be drawn to repentance, to receive the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is such a critical time for the church to be awakened and be the witness, the ambassador, the light of the world that we're supposed to be in this darkness.
Amen. So I'm looking here in 2 Timothy 1:6. This is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you. This is Paul talking to Timothy again. When I laid my hands on you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. People don't want to suffer. And I think, you know, that has a lot to do with apathy and, you know, where we go lukewarm because we don't want to suffer. And we don't want to do things if it's going to cost us anything. Mm-hmm. George Whitefield didn't feel that way. God stoked that fire in him. And he couldn't escape from it. He, you know, for a few years he did, but he could not escape from that call of God. And God calls each one of us. God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of this good news. And so then he just goes on. But the fact of the matter is, God desires that all men be saved. If we're saved, he wants to awaken us, and you have to ask him to awaken you. Cry out to him, awaken my heart, revive my heart, help me, give me what I need, give me that oomph that I need to move forward. I know times in my life that, you know, you feel like you're stuck and you can't kind of get around things, you know, and that's the time. Just surrender it to the Lord and say, I can't do anything. God's like, well, good. I'm glad you noticed that. And, you know, just lay it down. Lay it down and, you know, freshly surrender to the Lord.
Yes.
You know, and lay down your agenda. Lay down what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And ask the Lord to awaken you to his plan. Nanette, we were talking yesterday, and I just had this, like, quick little vision. You know, maybe this is for me, but maybe it's for everybody else, too. We have to know that God can shift things on a dime in our lives at any moment. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to miss it. But I don't know what I was doing. I was at home doing something. And then all of a sudden, I think I was praying, asking the Lord about a particular thing. And then all of a sudden, I saw another path. You know, where the word says, look for the ancient path, you know, which is those are the ways that are tried and true. Maybe we got to look for the way, the new path, that God's leading in a new direction, in mm-hmm. a new way, you know, because the old saying about, you know, you want something new, but you're continuing on with the old.
Mm, yes.
But the Lord, and it just may take a slight shift for the Lord to move things in a different direction. But that, again, that intimacy with him, spending that time with him and, you know, really just laying down your life before him. And I'm talking to myself.
Amen.
You know, lay my life down and with a fresh surrender every morning and, you know, with the eye to like really listen. Because for me, I feel like he wants to do such great stuff in us and through us, but we're in the way.
Yeah.
So we've got to be out of the way.
Amen.
So that he can do what he desires. Because it ain't about us.
No.
No.
It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants to accomplish through me, through each of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you were talking before, reminded me of what Paul says in Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But we can't be ashamed of our faith, of our belief. Like, are we more concerned about what people are going to say, mm-hmm. how they're going to react? Are we going to lose friends? Are we going to lose business? Like, how are we more concerned about what people think
mm-hmm.
and yeah. Concerned about and afraid of rejection or criticism? We must fear the Lord,
yeah.
and we mm-hmm. must be ready, willing, available, yielded, Karen, like you said, surrendered mm-hmm. every day. Lord, here I am. Use me for your kingdom. Use me for your glory. Show me what you have for me today. And I'm guilty of not doing that. It's just.
Yeah. Even right now in the spirit, I'm just being reminded, and I see when Lazarus was in the tomb, you know, dead, right, for 4 days, and how he heard the sound of Jesus's voice, and he came out from that place of death, that place, just 4 days lying there dead. And I just feel like those are people that maybe some are listening in, some that are not listening in the broadcast, but that have been in a season that they died, you know, and it's like they hear the voice of Jesus saying, come out, You know, I'm giving you life again. I'm breathing. My breath is in your body again. You're gonna finally like take that first inhale and exhale. And I see people as they're coming out from the cave, but they're still wrapped in those, whatever you call it, in those cloths. And they're still smelling like death. And they're still like, they can't even see. And so it's time to like even remove those death clothes. It's time to... The death happened, and it's time to get out of that, get out of that funk, get out of that stinky place, finally breathe in the breath of life and move forward. It's like, how could he call you out from those dead places, and yet you find yourself still like a mummy, like, I don't know where I'm going. I can't hear or see. Like, I feel like people can't completely see clearly, hear clearly right now, and they're bound, whatever is bounding. So, I just speak life to those individuals, and I speak strength to those individuals, and I speak that the voice of God will resonate in them, that they will hear the voice calling them out from dead places, and begin to unravel themselves from the cloths that signify death, because it's time to live again. Yes. It's time to breathe again, and it's time to do what God has called you to do with all you have. He's calling you out. He's saying, come out, Lazarus. Come out. And so I pray that you will have the courage and you will begin to hear the very voice of God again, and you will begin to see rightfully, see him rightly, see yourself rightly in him. As it says in Ephesians, seated at the right hand of the Father. And so, come out in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes.
Amen. In 2 Corinthians 2:4, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel.
That's it.
That displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And there's many believers who are unbelievers. There are many that are stuck. And
yeah, because Lazarus was a believer.
That's right. You're stuck. Mm-hmm. Everything's the same old, mm-hmm. but the Lord is saying, awake, O sleeper, mm-hmm. rise from your slumber.
Yes.
Awaken and come to life. Christ will shine upon you. Let the light shine out of the darkness. For God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Give your life to Jesus. Surrender afresh. There's really, I think there's nothing else you can do. For people that are in this situation, I feel like the nation, we're at a place of, if God does not intervene, then it's just going to go from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever perceived ills are taking place politically, it doesn't matter. It's spiritually. We need a spiritual awakening.
Yes.
For the people, the body of Christ, for the children of God to be awakened once again to the glorious salvation that we have through Christ Jesus. For there is no other hope. He's the only hope that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come politically. It's not going to come through any other means. It's going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we surrender to him, think about when you first met him, when he called your name, when he called you to himself.
I can remember it quite well, my own situation. We all know when the Lord spoke to us, and he's doing that once again. He wants to awaken that, what he has put in you and what he has called you to do, because it's time for you to step up in this hour, no matter what your age is. It's time to step up, and it's time to do what the Lord has called you to do. Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah.
Yeah, won't you add that, that the sun, will the sun set or rise on this nation again?
That's right. Yeah, and that was in the movie with Ben Franklin. Mm-hmm. But that chair that was at the front of the Continental Congress.
Ooh.
There was a sun carved into it, and he always wondered, is the sun rising or setting? Mm. And then finally at the end, he said, the sun is rising.
Praise God.
And it's rising when the people of God take their place and
put God in his place.
Yeah, and give God his place.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we are.
I keep hearing that scripture. Jesus came to heal all who are oppressed of the devil.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's an oppression. Nanette, that's what you were speaking about. It's an oppression.
Yes.
And we don't realize that it's a spirit of oppression by the enemy.
Amen.
So we have to resist the devil, and mm-hmm. he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know that Christ died to set us free, that oppression cannot keep us under and down and hinder our call, our purpose, our destiny, like who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People of power and authority and dominion. And you know, we have the same power living in us that raised Christ from the grave.
Amen. All right, we are out of time. And I'm again going to play the last verse of this song, Wake, O Sleeper, from your slumber. And we will be back next week, maybe with prayer. We wanted to pray today, but that didn't happen. God bless.
Kingdom, for your glory.